We're here with Fred Foldry, master writer from the Progress Report at progress.org. Make sure you check it out, where you can see all sorts of interesting topics, varying from slants on breast cancer to the latest on the subprime to what Obama's really up to. Now, Fred, why has this global financial meltdown occurred?
It's occurred because of the real estate cycle. Every downturn has been preceded by a real estate boom, every major downturn. Yeah. And the United States has had a real estate cycle for 200 years, and there are similar cycles in other countries. And what happens is you have a real estate boom caused by credit expansion and fueled by land speculation. It peaks out, it's unsustainable, and then it crashes and it brings down the financial system. So what's been happening this year has happened in the past. It happened in 1990 with the savings and loan in the U.S. And it's just a recurring thing. It's the biggest in since the Great Depression, because the real estate boom in the past 10 years was the greatest since the 1920s.
Many people blame or say the subprime led to the meltdown. How do you see that, and what really are the underlying causes?
The subprime mortgages was just the tip of the iceberg. So it was mortgages in general, of which the subprime ones were the riskiest. But the underlying issue is the land boom. Because when real estate prices were escalating, it's really the land value that goes up, not the value of the building. And the central economic fact is that land values capture the benefits of an economic expansion. And so during economic expansion, the problem is that what government services provide, the infrastructure, the schooling, streets and highways, security, all of these services increase the value of land. But most of it is paid for by taxes on labor and enterprise. And therefore, land values go up. And then when speculators see land values go up, they can make a fortune through leveraging. By buying real estate. So the speculative demand adds to the real demand for land, but it carries land values too high because they keep looking at future prices. They look for the next buyer to buy from them, and eventually it becomes unrealistic, and those people who buy at the end of the cycle, then they face large losses. And what's made the problem much worse this time around is the secondary market for mortgages. You have the institutions Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, government-sponsored enterprises that were buying mortgages from the originators, from banks that would originate mortgages. So it used to be that the bank would loan money for a mortgage and then the bank held that mortgage. But now the banks can simply sell that mortgage to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which in turn package them and sell it to insurance companies, hedge funds, and other firms. And so therefore, the banks can just keep churning it. They just keep issuing more and more mortgages, and they don't care so much about the quality because they can sell those mortgages. And so that made it, it may appear that they're benefiting homeowners by making mortgages easier to get, but it's a cruel hoax on poorer people who are then stuck with a foreclosed property.
And were all of these subprimes channeled through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Was that how it went, or is it wider than that?
No, it was wider than that. Fannie Mae was restricted on certain amounts of mortgages. So the larger mortgages went through Freddie Mac. And there were also other firms that jumped in for the secondary market. But the thrust of it was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And so There were mortgage brokers and others that were also handling these mortgages.
And so as capitalism is under the microscope at present, some are saying that it's, you know, just a market failure. That's what led this to happen. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, it was not at all a market failure, because you have to look at the issue way beyond just regulation into government intervention. And the intervention includes the tax system and subsidies, including guarantees. So when you have government subsidizing land values by providing public services, which are paid for through labor taxes on labor and goods, that is a huge subsidy. So that's not a free market. And then you, on top of that, you'd have tax breaks for real estate, tax-deductible mortgages, tax-deductible property taxes, and tax-free sales or exemptions from capital gains taxes. All of these things are government subsidies to real estate, so that's not a free market. Any subsidy like that is not a free market phenomenon. Then you have the guarantees on mortgages by the Federal Housing Administration and other government agencies, and the implicit government guarantee of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which when they failed became an explicit guarantee as the government took over these agencies at a cost of many hundreds of billions of dollars. So all of this government subsidy, guarantee, tax systems and all of that, that's nowhere near a free market.
Certainly, certainly. And the U.S. GDP is at about $14 trillion a year. We did some back-of-the-envelope sums before and said that land values throughout the U.S. would be approximately $35 trillion. And what you're saying is that the government, through the average working-class person paying their labor taxes, meanwhile the land speculator and the top 1% can dodge their taxes with their accountants doing backflips through all sorts of loopholes. But what percentage do you think these infrastructure services and general health services and the like that the working class man pays for contributes to this $35 trillion asset bubble?
Well, almost all of the land value is basically from subsidies. Because if the homeowners and real estate owners, the commercial owners, had to pay for the full cost of all the government services that pump up their land value, that would capitalize land values back down. And so, and a lot of that $35 trillion is speculation, the speculative demand on top of the real demand. Of course, Australia, the same thing. So it's hard to put an exact number. There's no real study about how much of the land value is speculative, but I would imagine it's substantial.
And so the solution so far from the neocons in power, GW and crew, has been to bail every single entity out, virtually, and it's just been $1 after another thrown. Someone wrote a nice article, $7 trillion into the breeze. What response have all these bailouts of Citigroup and the like really going to deliver? And on the flip side, what should they be doing if they were serious about addressing this issue?
Yeah, this is a bailout to the financial industry, of which contributes money to politicians, and many of the people there, like the U.S. Treasury Secretary, come from the financial industry, so they're helping out their friends. Their excuse was that without bailing out the insurance companies like AIG and the banks like Citigroup, the whole financial structure would fall apart. But the fact is, credit was already frozen, and all of this has not really unfrozen credit. Now, of course, it's hard to tell what would have happened without all this money, but I imagine it really hasn't done that much good. The economy is still receding, house prices are still falling. So, and if they really want to turn the economy around, a much more direct way to do it would simply to give money to the people. I wrote one of my columns on that, which is called Money to the People. If the U.S. government would simply give every resident $6,000 in cold cash, just print the money and give it to them, right? It would be less than the $7 trillion that they have spent or pledged already, because that amounts to $23,000 per U.S. citizen. And people would then have money. They would buy goods or pay off debts or put the money in banks. All of those would do some good. And it would be a counter to the deflation that's going on right now. Right now, the U.S. economy, and I imagine others, are going through a deflation, falling prices. And a deflation is bad for, a severe deflation is bad for business. Because someone borrows money And then you have to pay back in more expensive dollars because prices have fallen. And so people then are reluctant to borrow money in a deflation. So I think that the government could be doing is giving money directly to the people instead of to the financial interests. But they're not doing this because they're using this crisis as an excuse to give favors to the moneyed interests that then contribute to their campaigns.
And so Ben Bernanke spent the early 1990s in Japan and basically cut his teeth there, the young man, and saw Japan kick into what became a 16-year recession. And during this time, they faced a land price deflation. And for many of us, we were looking at this saying, well, that's true, that's what needs to occur. Land prices have to drop so people are spending less on rent and there's more money for food and fun and general saving and investment. And it sounds like that's what's happening in America at present. Should this be encouraged, or should they be doing what they're doing in Australia, where they're basically bailing out the property industry and trying to prop up real estate prices so that there's some money for banks to leverage against, to lend out more money? You know, the whole this whole credit hoax of you know, there needing to be liquidity in the market. Who is really going to invest when people are having to spend so much on rent?
Yeah, Bernanke should have foreseen the U.S. problem, having known about the Japanese boom and bust. But I guess people thought, well, it's different here, and it really wasn't. The problem is that there's a ratio of house prices to rents, because people own houses that they rent out. And so during the boom, the ratio of house prices to rents has gone up. House prices went up more than house rents, because when people rent housing, they pay for actual use. But when people buy housing, a lot of that is speculative. The speculators are paying a lot more relative to the rents. And so house prices have to fall in order for the economy to really recover. That ratio has to go back to the normal ratio. So house prices should fall. They should allow house prices to fall. And when they prevent house prices from falling, they're just delaying the recovery.
That's right. Well, in closing, Fred, what do you think will occur over the next few years? What can we expect, and how can our listeners prepare themselves for it?
Well, in America, Obama has announced a big public works program, so they're going to spend billions of dollars on infrastructure, roads, highways, and so on. Now, if a bridge has to be built or repaired, then certainly do it, but not to make work, but because you need the bridge, right? But just spending for public works for the sake of making jobs, it really does not lead to economic recovery. In fact, that's what happened in Japan. They spent tremendous amounts of money on public works that really weren't that productive, but just to stimulate the economy, and it did not end the stagnation. And in the 1930s, Roosevelt, who seems to be the role model for Obama, Roosevelt and the U.S. government spent a lot of money on public works. Now, they did build some things that were useful, but it didn't get the economy out of the recession or the depression. So unfortunately, what we're going to see is public works programs and more bailouts. And now, how fast the economy recovers depends on tax policy and monetary policy. If instead of raising taxes, as they want to do on the wealthier people, they perpetuate the tax decreases that were made in the early part of the decade, and if they don't put up more trade barriers, then the economy, and if they had a cash injection directly to the people, the economy could recover quickly. You could have a recovery within a few months. But so it much depends on what they want to do. If the recovery is already going to be delayed because businesses foresee higher taxes, which Obama and the Democrats have promised. But if they say, no, we're not going to raise taxes, that would really be good for the economy.
Well, thank you, Fred. Thanks very much for chatting to us.
You're welcome.
Lovely.